This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Gave Musa alayhi salam victory over Pharaoh. Allah will give victory to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the kings of this dunya. So let's continue where we left off. We said the last verse was on that first page where it says, Inni ana rabbuka fakhla na'alayk innaka bilwadi al-muqaddas tuwa. Verily I have chosen you, so leave your sandals. Verily you are upon a blessed and holy valley, which is Tuwa. طيب وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. I have chosen you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Musa alayhi salam. Question really is, what can and how can we be chosen by Allah azza wa jalla? What made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose Musa alayhi salam? The obvious answer is, first of all, Allah does what He wills. Number two, the second thing is also Musa alayhi salam possessed particular characteristics that made him very different and special. First of all, he was very focused on what he wanted to do. Yeah, he could not tolerate wrong, and which was one of the reasons that he killed one of the guards of Pharaoh, because that man was actually prosecuting and hurting one of the slaves of Pharaoh at that time. Also, the third reason is because he is very, very extremely hardworking and he is very determined. Yeah, and. The fourth reason is that the values of Musa alayhi salam are phenomenal. Yani his ability to lead, his ability to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are all phenomenal. Also, he came from a righteous family. His mother was a righteous woman. And that has a big impact. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses people. And that is why if you want to be also chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good in this dunya, then you have to encourage your whole family to be righteous. That's number one. Number two, you yourself have to ennoble yourself with beautiful manners and beautiful akhlaq. It was well known that Musa alayhi salam, when his inability to accept arrogance and inability to accept dhulm, was also evident when he went to Madian and he saw that these two girls who are the daughters of Shu'aib radiallahu ta'ala anha alayhi salatu wasalam, when the two daughters of Shu'aib were around the well and they were being abused by some of the people and not being allowed to take water from the well, and so we went there and he defended the right of these two girls. So we see that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was intolerant of oppression. And it is these sort of qualities that make him different and special, no doubt. Alhamdulillah. Innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana. Verily, indeed, it is I who is Allah. There is no deity worthy of worship except me. Fa'budni, so worship only me. Wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. In the same sentence, Allah says, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. So we find the prayer has been ordained very early on. It's not as people said that the first thing that was obligated was always La ilaha illallah and then everything else came slowly. No, even to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, very quickly onwards, right after La ilaha illallah, the salah was established. And that is why the first priority of any new Muslim that accepts Islam must be salah. And that is why it's not right when someone accepts Islam, we say, okay, you know what, you take it easy, you learn slowly, and then you will, you'll learn the deen. No, we tell them, look, your first priority is your salah. So it's time for salah. You accepted Islam and it's dhuhr prayer and there's only 1 hour left for dhuhr. Now we need to show you how to make wudu and so you can do your dhuhr prayer, right? Or have a ghusl and with that intent wudu and inshallah then pray your dhuhr before the time of dhuhr runs out. And this shows that therefore salah is a very early obligation. Also tells us that if we don't have salah, we don't have iman. And because it's in the same sentence, فَعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, meaning if you don't have salah, then you don't have ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, and that is why in the authentic hadith it has been reported in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْكُفُرْ وَأَشْشِرْكْ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. And between us and between al-kufr and shirk, right, is to leave the prayer. So, al-kufr ash-shirk, meaning the kufr, the shirk, meaning between Islam and the kufr, the shirk is salah. Therefore, if you don't have salah, there's nothing between you and kufr. And that is why one of the scholars of Islam, Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, says this hadith is the greatest evidence that leaving salah is kufr. Leaving salah is kufr in that Rasulullah said, Al-Kufr Ash-Shirk, right? Al-Kufr Ash-Shirk, there is no difference between them and you and Islam, except for Salah, and therefore if Salah is missing, then there is no difference, right? Okay. إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. So establish the prayer for my remembrance. إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ. Verily, the last hour is definitely coming. آتِيَةٌ. آتِيَةٌ meaning it is most definitely coming. أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا. I'm about to. أَكَادُ meaning I'm about to. أُخْفِيهَا. I'm about to remove the veil from it so that it is apparent to everyone. لِتُجَزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. So that I may reward every man or every soul based upon what they have تَسْعَى, what they have worked for. And this is the whole point, Ikhwani, that the main two reasons why we're worshipping Allah is because Allah is the deity, and that He is going to take us to account. Yeah? If He was a deity, didn't take us to account, they would be like, you know what, alright, Allah created us, but so what? He's not going to take us to account. So as a result, I don't have to be good. But because Allah Azza wa Jal has created us and will take us to account, that truly must make us different. And that is why the belief in the hereafter is very inconvenient. Belief in the hereafter is very inconvenient for a disbeliever. Belief in the hereafter is very inconvenient for a tyrant. Belief in the hereafter is very inconvenient for anyone who wishes to do haram. Because he knows that he cannot persist in this haram except that he will have to answer for it. And that is why many a times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again talks about they don't believe in the hereafter, they don't believe in the hereafter. Why? Because they persist in their behavior, and with their behavior they're showing that they don't truly believe in the hereafter, or they don't believe in a hereafter that we believe in, which is that everyone will be taken to account, Allah will deal with justice. They believe that they will be rewarded despite them being mushrikeen, that somehow they believe in a skewed form of the hereafter. فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا. فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا. So let no one stop from this religion. مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا. Those that do not believe in it. وَاتَّبَى هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى. And they follow their hawa and they are misguided. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids the people from stopping from believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tells us therefore, when we say we don't stop them, therefore we must do the opposite. Meaning we must bring them towards that which makes them believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to do the opposite of what Allah says here, وَاتَّبَى هَوَى, meaning they follow the desire. So we say, no, it's the opposite of that. So the fact that the people are misguided by following their desires shows, ya ikhwani, that ultimately it is our desires before our doubts that misguide us. In fact, our desires ultimately lead to doubts themselves. And desires form doubts. So for example, you end up believing that zina is halal, for example, a'udhu billah, or alcohol is halal. Then, apologies, you end up drinking alcohol, or you end up committing zina. Then suddenly a situation comes when you start saying, you know what, it's not that bad, it's actually makruh. And then from there it goes to halal, and from that it goes to, you know, even recommended, just like, you know, some of the Shia have done. They have made prostitution halal because of their mut'ah, and they have even considered it good. Until they even say it's better than normal marriage, it's more blessed, they said, than normal marriage. Until it was reported that Khomeini, alayhi ma yastahiq min Allah, was actually recommended on his deathbed to actually have done, to have recommended to do muta'a. So, yani, we find that this is from the deception of shaitan. It takes you from a belief into another belief, into another belief, into another belief. And desires ultimately lead to doubts. Doubts, they do lead to desires, but it's actually the desires that is a bigger problem. Because your desires ultimately leads to disdain for Allah Azza wa Jalla and what He said, which then leads you to even thinking that, you know what, it's not as bad as originally I was made to believe, and that is when the doubts come in. That's what destroys totally. فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنَّهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْضَى وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. So now Allah Azza wa Jalla trains Musa, and now Allah tells us about the training that Allah is going to give Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, preparing Musa for the trials that is going to come when Allah Azza wa Jalla sends Musa to be tested by Fir'aun, or to call Fir'aun to the path. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. So what is in your right hand, ya Musa? Allah already knows. But you know, it's like a, when I read this verse, it's almost like Rabbana is it's so gentle with Musa, you know. It's a bit like, you know, when I, of course, for Allah is a higher example, and for Allah is no one like us at all. But you know, I'm sure you will appreciate this when you have your child, and you say to your child very lovingly, saying, "My son, what are you doing? What are you playing? I mean, you already know he's playing a game. So what exactly are you playing? What are you doing? What are you writing? You know what I'm saying?" So you say that out of genuine love, you know. It's almost like showing your interest, though you already know, but showing your interest politely and in a loving form. So وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. So what is in your right hand, O Musa? قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ. And no one should ever understand from this that Allah doesn't know what's in his right hand, please. This is the way of form of speaking. Yeah? Form of speaking. قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ. So it is my asa. Asa meaning my staff. So it is my asa. أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. I use it to walk on. And where does he walk on? Because there are a lot of hilly areas. And Musa ﷺ used to tend to sheep. And therefore sheep used to be in hilly areas. And so sometimes you need something to be able to give you almost like a third leg, you know, to give you some balance. أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. I use it to rely on, to walk on it. وَأَهُشِّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِ. And I use it to tend to the sheep. وَلِيَمْ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَىٰ. And I use it for other purposes as well. What other purposes? Well, you know, I use it to shoo things away, remove dirt from the path. So, وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَىٰ. And I have other purposes with it as well, Ya Rabb. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ. قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِ وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَىٰ. قَالَ أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَىٰ. So throw it, O Musa, عليه الصلاة والسلام. فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَىٰ. So he threw it, and it is as if a hayya, a snake that is moving. قَالَ خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَافْ. Saying, take the snake and don't be afraid. سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتَهَا الْأُولَىٰ. We will return it back to its seerah, its early form. And what does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return the staff to the original form that the staff had, and you should not be afraid, for indeed it was a miracle that Allah azza wa jal gave to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it as a miracle and training for him so that he knows that this is a sign that he can then show to Fir'aun. وَضْمُمْ يَدَكَ إِلَىٰ جَنَاحِكَ. And put your hand into your chest. What will happen? سَنُعِيدُهَا تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَىٰ. And when you take it out, it will come out white. White meaning light would be shining from it. It will be completely white, not the yellowish color of your hand. And that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah did was that He put light in His hand until the hand became an emanator of light. If you were to look at it, you would be blinded with the amount of light that would be coming out of the hand of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And so, تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ آيَةً أُخْرَىٰ. It will come out white. بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ. Without any form or deficiency in that light. آيَةً أُخْرَىٰ. Another side. لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَىٰ. So that we may show you from our greater signs. So, greater signs, lesser signs before the greater signs. We'll show you small signs so that they are lesser signs before the greater signs. No. Now, the question I have for you is, these are amazing signs, no doubt. But how do we know that this is not magic? How do we know Musa alayhi salam was not doing magic? Well, number one, because first of all, Musa was a righteous man. And magicians are usually unrighteous people. They're not people who are close to Allah. They're people who are close to shaitan. And miracles don't happen to evil people. Only magic are from evil people, right? Miracles happen to good people, righteous people. That's number one. Number two, magic happens whenever you want it. Yeah? What would you like? You would like a pizza? You want a pizza from New York? You want a New York style pizza? Bam! And in front of you, bam, you've got a pizza. What happened? Well, you just spoke to your jinn. The jinn went to New York and stole a pizza from a pizza place and brought you a pizza. That's actually what happened. So this is black magic. On the other hand, a miracle only happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can't just say, shabam, and you know something will happen. No, you can't. You know, it will only happen when Allah wants it. So Allah will turn the water into wine, or Allah will turn, as the Prophet ﷺ had water come out of his hands, or, you know, splitting of the moon. All of this happened when Allah wanted it, not when Rasulullah ﷺ wanted it. Otherwise, when Rasulullah ﷺ was debating with the mushrikeen, why didn't the Prophet ﷺ do a miracle like splitting of the moon or water coming out of the hand? Because he couldn't do it. You see, that's the whole point. He can only do it when Allah wants it. Do you understand? So that's the difference. The second difference between a miracle and magic is that miracles happen only when Allah wants it, not when you want it. So many a times you would want a miracle, it won't happen because Allah won't show you the miracle. Right? And at other times, look at for example, look at the miracle of the descending of the plate of food from the sky that Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam had to do. It didn't happen when he wanted. He had to make dua to Allah. Yeah, he didn't just say, oh, you want a plate of food? Bam, shabam, and here you go, here is food. No. That didn't happen. He had to say, Allahumma anzil alayna ma'idatan minas sama, takunu lana aidan li akhirana wa awwalina wa akhirana. He had to make dua to Allah. So, Allah, send down a plate of food from the sky that will be a feast for the first of us and the last of us, right? So it was it was by the dua of righteous people that miracles take place. This is the second thing. Miracles happen when Allah wants it. Black magic happens when they want it. Okay. Number three, the third example is that even the magician knows that his magic is a trick. Even the magician knows his magic is a trick. And sometimes his magic will fail. A miracle, on the other hand, will never fail. A miracle, on the other hand, will never fail. A miracle, on the other hand, totally changes the whole nature of something. Whereas magic is only an illusion in the eye. Yeah? Illusion in the eye, or actually bewitching the eye. Whereas a miracle actually is a transformation of nature. It's a transformation. It's a metaphysical transformation of nature. And that can only happen through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So learn the difference between the two so that you're not confused. فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا. Where are we? Sorry. We are. وَضْمُمْ يَدَكَ إِلَى جَنَاحِكَ تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ آيَةً أُخْرَى. Another sign. لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَى. So that we may show you the greatest of our signs. Meaning, Allah Zawajal is making Musa alayhi salam comfortable with these smaller signs so that Allah is going to then show him greater signs. What are the greater signs? Well, there's going to be an army of locusts. There's going to be a plague that is descending on Egypt. There's going to be a river Nile becoming blood. There's going to be an army of frogs that are going to come. There's going to be a tufan. There's going to be lightning from the sky and hail and a storm. There's going to be the parting of the seas. You know, all of this is a massive miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa alayhi salam. So no doubt, in order to prepare him, Allah has given him smaller miracles first before the greater ones. اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Now Allah tells him, your training is complete, and go now to Fir'aun, for verily he has transcended all boundaries and he has gone beyond belief in what he says. قال رب اشرح لي صدري. So what did Musa say? Not late, you know, later Lord, yani, no, nothing like that. Na'am, I am up to it, but I need help, Ya Rab. Okay, that is the attitude. And you see, this is the attitude we want to have. Guys, it's called initiative. Take the initiative. When Rabbana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you read verses in the Quran, Allah tells you, saying, give sadaqah, pray, fast, help Allah's deen. Take the initiative, even if you're not ready. And make dua to Allah, and Allah will answer your dua at that point because you're truthful in doing something for Allah. So, let's say you read a verse about sadaqah, and you know you're a bit out of money these days. Then you say, Ya Rabbi, na'am, I'm going to give sadaqah, Ya Rabbi. I'm up to the challenge. Then you say, Ya Rabbi, give me wealth, Ya Allah, so I can give sadaqah. Or Allah, give me a business. Or Allah, make me wealthy. Or Allah, give me health and wealth so that I can take this wealth and then give it to your cause. So you have to use that opportunity. You have to take the opportunity to make dua. And do not say, like Musa alayhi salam knows he's not ready. I mean, what sort of training does he have? What sort of army does he have? What sort of, he even has an impediment in his speech because of the burning that he had on his mouth when he was burnt in his mouth. He had an impediment in his speech. We'll come to that, inshallah, in the story of Musa alayhi salam tomorrow. And because of this, he had an impediment in his speech, but that didn't stop him, right? He said, yes, Ya Rab, I will take it on But Ya Rabbi, I need help. Oh Allah, give me my brother as a helper. Oh Allah, open my chest up. Oh Allah, give me easy of speech so that they may understand me. Oh Allah, keep my heart firm, right? So they said all of these things. But that didn't stop him from actually jumping in and taking the plunge. And that is my advice to all of my brothers and sisters. When Allah's command comes to you, and when someone asks you for help, take the plunge. And that is the moment to ask Allah for help. Allah will help. And because He knows that if He doesn't help you, you can't achieve it. He knows that you're a weak human being. We're weak human beings. So never say no to the appeal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the request of Allah, never say no. Jump, take the leap. And Allah Azza wa Jalla's help will be near. So look at what Musa alayhi salam said. He said, قَالَ رَبِّ شِرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh Allah, expand my chest. In shirah al-sadr, what does it mean? So, there's a couple of things you got to understand. Number one is when you have disbelief, your heart feels constricted. Also, when you are depressed, your heart feels constricted, right? And also, when you feel hurt, your heart, your chest feels constricted. An example of that is, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَدِيقُ صَدَرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Verily, we know, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your chest feels constricted because of what they say. So we know that therefore when you feel hurt, your chest feels constricted, right? Also, when you are miserly, you feel constricted. Also, when you're negative, when everything is negative, doomy, gloomy, you feel constricted. So what does Rabbi Shrahli Sadri mean? Rabbi Shrahli Sadri, I feel positive, Ya Rab, so that I am always looking forward, Ya Rab, so that I am looking forward to things. I am not feeling bad, and they may insult me, but my chest is big, Ya Rab. It can take it, Ya Allah, so that I don't feel negative and I don't feel full of distress, but I feel Allah's help is always with me. I don't feel disbelief and sins in my heart. I feel my heart full of belief and good, right? That's what inshirah al-sadr means. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands your chest so you don't feel hurt, you don't feel depressed, you don't feel harmed, you don't feel negative, you feel positive and you feel good. Walhamdulillah. Rabbi shrah li sadri. Oh Allah, purify my chest. Oh Allah, expand my chest with the deen and with positivity. Wa yassir li amri. And make my affair easy. Yeah? Make my affair easy. What affair? Every affair. And did you see what he is asking for? And did you also notice one more thing? I mean, two points that come to mind. Number one, first thing we do when we have to do something is we start plotting and planning, and we start strategizing, right? We start strategizing. So someone says, Akhi, can you give me $1,000 for Allah? And you're like, first thing you do is you strategizing. $1,000. Okay, I could give money from there and I'm that account there. Stop it. Stop it. Stop strategizing. First thing you do, remember Allah. And that's why, you know, I run this organization called Mercy Mission. Lots of work. And there's always one problem or the other, a legal issue, a human resource issue, a funding issue, a PR issue, something or the other coming up somewhere in the world. You know, I've given up trying to strategize. Of course, you have to think and strategize. But the point is, you know, when you just can't solve a problem and we endlessly think about it, and you know, our families as well, they endlessly think, you know, like my mom sometimes like, how are you going to look after your kids? And there are 7 kids now. And how are you going to put Yusuf through medical school? And oh my God, all they do is worry. All they do is worry. So all I've learned to do is just make dhikr of Allah. Alhamdulillah, Allah's going to solve it. I know He is. And so this is part of that issue, is that you make dua to Allah. Stop worrying and you make dua to Allah. The second point of advice from this dua of Musa alayhi salam is look, the dua is so general. It's a general dua. It's not specific. You know when we make dua to get married, oh Allah, get me married to Fatima bint Tawfiq Chaudhary, who lives in 37th Bukit Utama, and she is 37 years old. I mean, why are you being so specific in your dua? Make dua general. Oh Allah, get me a righteous wife. Oh Allah, make me wealthy and healthy. Oh Allah, give me inshirah sadr and make my affair easy. Make simple, open dua. Because you don't know, perhaps Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to say no when you make specific dua, because Allah wants something better for you, a better wife for you, a better job for you, right? So make your du'as general, right? And رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Who said that dua? This dua was said by the youth who were in the cave. They made that dua, very general dua. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَحْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. Because of that dua, Allah gave them a miracle after miracle after miracle. They never even thought. the dog that Allah sent, the cave that Allah sent, the sun that would not beat upon the cave, the protection that they had for hundreds of years sleeping in the cave. I mean, who would have imagined all of these blessings? They could not have even imagined to make the dua. Therefore, every dua must be general. General, okay? قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh Allah, oh expand my chest. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. And make my affair easy. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي. And make my speech easy. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So that they may understand me. Remove the stutter from my tongue so that they may understand me. وَجَعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّن أَهْلِي. And make me a friend or a wazir who is a helper from my affair. هَارُونَ أَخِي. Harun, my brother. Ushtud bihi azri, I may strengthen my affair with him. Wa ashrikhu fi amri, and so that I may share my matter with him, my sorrows and my difficulty, and I may use him as a helper and as a personal assistant. Kay nusabbihaka kathira, so that we may praise you a lot. Wa nadhkuraka kathira, and we may remember you a lot. Innaka kunta bina basira, verily you are always watchful over us. We're going to stop here. Inshallah ta'ala, we've run out of time. And I'd like to keep my tafsir short for these few days, inshallah, so it's easy upon you as well and easy upon me. I've noticed my tongue becomes very, very tired and I get very tongue twisted in these days of Ramadan. And inshallah, as Allah improves our health and inshallah, we get better, inshallah, we hope to make our tafsir a little bit longer. Thank you once again. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll carry on with the meaning of some of the last parts of the dua of Musa alayhi salam. And then inshallah we'll tell you about the story of the birth of Musa, how he grew up, how Fir'aun caught him, how he then grew up in Madian, and then the challenge of Musa in the courts of Fir'aun. It's all coming up tomorrow. Don't miss it, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.